If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Psalm, chapter number 40 with me this morning, please. The 40th Psalm. My Bible says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. He's called the sweet singer of Israel. A psalm, chapter number 40, and verse number 1. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it in fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Father, bless your holy word. This messenger, give me unction. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now, what you just read right here is about 3,000 years old. That's old. That's been around a while. That means that there's nothing changed about mankind. David is about 1,000 B.C. So we're looking at something that's very old, yet very pertinent. Because it describes all of us this morning in a very clear, conscious manner. Note carefully, I want you to understand something. This is important for this generation especially. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. You need to understand something about God. Some of you are playing with God. Some of you are playing with religion. Some of you have been brainwashed in the public school system. Some of you have bought into Darwinism, hook, line, and sinker. Some of you believe there is no God. You're atheist, or you think you are. Some of you are agnostic. You say, well, there may be, but I don't know. But you comfort yourself in fitting in with this contemporary crowd today, and you go about your life week in and week out and never give a thought about where all this came from. When you think about how large the creation is and how complicated the creation is and how deep that God runs in the lives of people, if you really give a thought about where you came from and your little short span of life on this earth, and where you're going when you breathe your last breath, you might take notice of what David said. I waited patiently on the Lord. A lot of people today, they want instant gratification. You live in a high-tech society. You live in a world where you pick up your cell phone and you can text around the world, Instagram, and you've got it right there. So they say that the average person in America now, if they have to wait over 16 seconds for their computer screen to refresh or for some search to go through, that they get very agitated. They're living on the brink. They're living on the edge. They've long since forgotten what life is about. Folks lived a long time before TV. They lived a long time before a radio. I lived quite a time before computers ever showed up. I lived quite a time before cell phones ever came on this earth. And we got along just fine. As a matter of fact, we enjoyed our families and we could talk and we could interact with each other. And in a way that they don't do anymore. We are what is depersonalized. I don't know if that's a word or not, but the fact of the matter is we're no longer humanity communicating with each other. I went to eat the other day, and when I was sitting there right before we got our food, the table next to us had about 7 or 8 girls on it. And these are young women, of course, and every one of them had their phone in front of their face. And they weren't talking to each other. They look at their phone. They don't realize how they're addicted to something like that. And it's robbing you of your life. David said, I patiently waited for the Lord. You say there is no God, I challenge you. You say there is no creator, I challenge you. No, you're the liar. You're the one that's taken the easy path. You're the one that let them spoon feed you a bunch of lies, and now you don't know how to deal with the emotions that are rising in your soul. You don't know how to deal with life as it comes your way. You begin to find out that there's a real world outside of your schoolhouse, and you've got to live in that real world, and you are ill-equipped to do it because you've been turned into a kind of an ottoman, into a robot, and all they got to do is push the right button and you jump, say the right thing and you respond. And that's the kind of world that you live in right now. I challenge you to look further. I challenge you to look deeper. I challenge you to find out what you're really made out of. If there's a God out there, why don't you try to talk to him? If there's a creator out there, why don't you challenge him? He won't make him mad. Believe me, today you'll never make him mad. Seek the Lord while he may be found, that Bible said. Well, preacher, I'm not sure. Let him make you sure. You don't think that the one that I serve today that made all of this, that saved my soul in 1973, can make himself known? The problem is not God, the problem's you. Because you refuse the truth you feel in your soul. Well, I know there's something wrong, but I'll find me a shrink. I'll get me a psychologist or psychiatrist, and he'll answer all. No, he won't answer squat. What your problem is spiritual. Your problem is your relationship with God. Your problem is if you're not saved, your problem is that you've got a dead spirit residing inside you and there is no connection with the Lord. And that's why church is dead. That's why you have to go to a church and you've got to be pumped up. You have to have a religious rock show. You've got to have all the lights flashing and all over the place so you feel like you can. A lot of churches, there's no difference from going to a nightclub on Friday night and then going to the church house on Sunday morning. They're essentially the same thing. Listen, folks, are you smart? Have you figured out yet that they're both of the same spirit? Do you realize that if you truly know God, you don't need any stimulus from the outside? It all is on the inside. He that dwelleth within me, he saved my soul and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I want to talk this morning about where God found you. I don't know where you are, but I'll guarantee you this. In a congregation this big this morning, folks watching by the internet, I'll guarantee you every place you can be found, somebody's there. Are you listening? I don't know what all the specific circumstances of your life is today, but I know this. I know the answer for every problem you've got. Amen. The answer is not a solution. The answer is not trying to figure it out. The answer is not trying to make it better. The answer is certainly not religion. And the answer is not man. The answer is the Lord. You don't need a solution. You don't need to work it out. You just need God. That's the missing element in the lives of most people in this country. Therefore, they have created this Western materialistic religion. Did you know that one of the biggest names in the prosperity gospel has just come out in the last few days? And he has publicly said, I don't like what I'm preaching. I'm done with this. This prosperity business, this money stuff, every time you come to church, you're talking about money, 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 money. We don't need your money. God wants your heart. The money will come. When a man gets right with God, he'll look up into heaven and he'll say, Lord, I don't have what I wouldn't have anything to eat except that you fed me and clothed me and you've given me a home and you return in kind to the Lord. Amen. But he's come out and he said, I was wrong. He said, I'm sick of it. I'm done with it. And this man has an enormous amount of influence. And I wonder what kind of pressure now he's put on this name it, claim it, blab it, grab it prosperity crowd. Aren't you sick of going to church, folks? And all you hear from the time you walk through the back door till you leave is money, 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 money. It's almost as if the church cannot get along without money. Folks, we can't get along without God. Money is incidental. Money is peripheral. Money is secondary. The issue is God. 1973, God found me. The Bible says here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 38 and verse number 6, then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchi, the son of Hamelech. That was in the court of the prison. They let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Some of you, when God finds you, or he may have found you, he found you in a pit. This is what he talks about in Psalm chapter number 40. He hath brought me up also out of an horrible pit. That's amazing. It's amazing that a man that wrote something 1,000 years before Christ, 3,000 years ago, can speak directly to your soul. Does that bother you? I mean, does it move your mind to think that something that is that old can be that accurate as to who, what, and where we are? He said over here, he said, he inclined unto me when I waited patiently for the Lord. There are people that have gone out into the woods and separated themselves from mankind and have spent years out there in the forest with the animals for one purpose, to seek God. Have you ever really sought God? Have you ever really sought the Lord? Have you given up food? Have you given up sleep? Have you given up the pleasures of this world and the comforts of mankind to seek his face? He said, if you seek me early, I'll be found. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seek the Lord, he said, while he may be found. God Almighty's God, and there's none beside him. So the Bible said in Psalm chapter number 40, I sought the Lord, I waited patiently for him, and he inclined to me and heard my prayer. Some of you he found in a pit. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. What does this mean, preacher? It means that people are affected by peer pressure. And when God finds some of you, he's going to find you where you have been beaten down, especially by this politically correct, godless society. Oh, how I get so sick and tired of somebody telling me what to say, when to say it, and what it means to redefine everything that ever meant anything to me when I was a child. Listen, folks, when I grew up, we lived in an entirely different world than this one. This one has completely changed. Which one was right? How arrogant for a crowd to come along today and completely turn everything upside down and tell us that we were all wrong 50, 75 years ago. Who are they? Who are they to come along and change words and the meaning of words and to say you can say this or you can't say that? What's going on? Are you scared to death of the opinion of people? Some of you are locked in it. Some of you are closed and some of you are imprisoned by what people think about you. That's all you think about. Oh, well, I wonder if they'll accept me. I wonder if I'll be one of them. I wonder if they're talking about me. Oh, I wonder what's going on. Get them off of your mind. Think about God. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body should be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? God will find some of you in total darkness. Do you know that a PhD, folks, there are many PhDs in this country that are in absolute darkness. Oh, how they think they are educated. How they think that they are the teachers of the blind. How they think that they are enlightened. And I'm not condemning all PhDs, but I'm trying to tell you right now, if the light that is in your soul that inspires you, that guides you and leads you, that makes you think you know something, if that light is not the light of Christ and of the Word of God, you're walking in darkness. Not too long ago, one of the discoverers of DNA, the code of life, came out and he said, I got a big problem with Darwinism. There's something bad wrong with evolution. That's what he said. What did they do? They immediately excoriated him. They kicked him out of their big boy club. They turned on him. Why did they turn on him? Because they do not want debate. I'm not afraid for any man to sit down, open that book, and debate with me out of the Bible. That is God's infallible word. I'll debate, my friend. The book is the absolute truth. But they want no debate. It is their way or the highway. That's the crowd today. Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 6 says, "And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." God has found some of you as this baby wallowing in its birth, its afterbirth in the desert. He has found you in exactly the same place. Have you ever seen photographs of San Francisco, California, and Los Angeles, California, and Seattle, Washington, and Philadelphia, and Detroit, and all the other places in this country where people are pitching their tents and they're living on the streets? Have you ever seen the photographs of the drug addicts that are laying out there with their arms straight out, stripped, and here they are, they're dying? But did you know that some of these women are having babies out there on the street? What happens as you get older and you realize, I was born to a drug addicted woman on the street in the midst of human filth, and that's where I came from? You talk about belittling you. You talk about destroying your self-image. You talk about all these things that men pump men up with. You got to understand this. Every one of us, spiritually speaking, were born on the side of the road in human filth and excrement. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He goes to the lowest of the low. He goes to the dirtiest of the dirty. And there he'll speak to them. And he'll say to them, live. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Do you know how many kids are born into this country every year that are crack addicted? They're addicted to drugs because their mother was a drug addict. Do you realize how big a problem drug addiction is in America anyway? They talk about it on television. They talk about opioid addiction. Opioid addiction. In other words, something that has to do with a poppy flower over there in Afghanistan and through all of its processes and its different manifestations. And they're hooked on it, and young people are dying right now. People are lying in this city of Knoxville, Tennessee, completely out of it, out of their mind, hooked on opioids. Yeah, preacher, that's pretty bad. Yes, that's a pit. That's a pit. And when they get into a pit like that, they think there's no hope. A drug addict looks at himself or herself and they think, I can't break this addiction. I can't do anything. No, you can't. But God can. What I'm trying to do is to give you the dark on one side and the light on the other. I'm trying to show you there's a difference between the two. I'm not talking about a gray area here between them. I'm laying it out simply on this side, and then I'm giving it to you the remedy. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of mankind. He's the only one that can reach down into the pit, take hold of you in the pit, and pull you up out of that hell hole. Amen. Are you a drug addict today? A lot of drug addicts do a good job of covering it up. They do. I mean, they look just like everybody else until it... Have you ever seen a meth addict? Methamphetamines? You ought to see. Get on the internet and do this. For your own mind, type in meth addict. That's only one form of drugs. There's many others. But meth addict. Meth addiction. And what you will pull up will shock you to your soul. Because a meth addict can't hide it after a while. It's all over their face. It's all over their teeth. It's all over their life. It'll literally consume them. They're a living, dying flesh. And they look, what it reminded me of when I saw the meth addict was leprosy. Leprosy. Let me tell you something. Drugs is the scourge of our culture. I cannot emphasize that enough to you today. Whoever introduces you to drugs is a lying devil straight out of hell. And the reason they're introducing you to it is because they want to make money off of you. The drug pusher is the one who will he'll profit from your suffering. I've been at this a while, and I have seen what drugs do to people. And I've been to more than one funeral that was a direct result of drugs. They'll kill you. The Bible says over here in the book of Joshua chapter number 9, when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they did work wildly. Went and made as if it were been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, old shoes and clouted upon their feet and old garments upon them and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. The Gibeonites were deceptive because they had heard how that Israel was literally taking the land. And so they thought, well, we're going to have to make a league with them, but we have to have a reason to do it. And so that's what they did. They acted as if they had been in a far country. And they came in, and Joshua made a league with them. Joshua stuck with his word, but when he found out there was a deception involved, he made the Gibeonites hewers of wood and carriers of water. And that from that day on in Israel, they lived, but they lived as servants because they had lied. You see, they lived by deception. Listen to me. Here's what the world tells you. Don't believe your lying eyes. You believe what I tell you. Did you get that? Don't believe what your eyes are literally showing you. Believe what I tell you. In other words, believe me and I'll make this make-believe world. Did you know the Bible talks about filthy dreamers? America is full of make-believe. They are. They're full of make-believe. They don't have to deal with reality. They're full of make-believe. They live in a manufactured, what's a good word for it? It's kind of a Shangri-La. The globalists, the one worlders are promising that all you have to do is just get rid of your sovereignty and life will be so much better when we all realize that we're brothers and we're sisters on this earth. Deception. Some of you are deceiving your family. Some of you are doing it right now. You're shooting up, you're sniffing, you're taking drugs, and all the list that goes with, you're doing all of that, and you're deceiving your family. You're the one being deceived. You're the sucker. You're the fool. You're the one that one day will pay dearly for your deception. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The pit. Boy, the pit. I want to read this for you one more time. We have created our myth. The myth is a faith. It is passion. It is not necessary that it shall be a reality. It is a reality by the fact that it is good, a hope, a faith, that it is courage. Our myth is the nation. Our myth is the greatness of the nation. And to this myth, to this grandeur that we wish to translate into a complete reality, we subordinate all the rest. Now that's a thinker that wrote that. But do you know who wrote that? I told you once before in here. Well, on a Wednesday night. Benito Mussolini. A fascist. A fascist. You've got an outfit in this country called Antifa. They wouldn't know a fascist if he slapped them in the face. They have no idea what fascism is really about. What is fascism, preacher? Fascism is when the government controls by intimidation or by pure force, brute force, the means of production, where people go, how they interact with each other. In plain words, the government takes an overruling, overriding power over people. That's fascism. That's fascism. And this crowd in here in this country, Antifa, is blaming Christians and conservative people of being fascist. Young people, don't let them blow your mind. Don't let them mess with your mind. They don't know what a fascist is. Yeah, I'd be far more worried in this country about a socialist than I would a fascist. But Mussolini said this one more time. We have created our myth. The myth is a faith. It is passion. Have they done that here? Yeah, they have. They've created a myth in this country too. Oh yeah, you believe me, they've created a myth. And people have bought into it. They bought into a lie. The lie, the biggest lie that's ever told in America is you don't need God. You don't. All you need is the latest gadget to come down the pike. I close with this morning. How many's ever heard of Judas Iscariot? Oh, Lord of mercy, if you haven't, we need to have a talk. Judas Iscariot denied the Lord Jesus. Okay? The Lord Jesus. He denied the Lord Jesus with blazing light in his face. He denied the Lord Jesus, and he had more light than many people that have ever come to the Lord, because he was physically there in his presence. He watched him perform miracles, walk on water, turn the water to wine, heal the leper, raise the dead. He had something special given from the Lord Jesus in the fact that he was one of the 12 chosen to cast out devils, heal the sick. Freely you have received, freely give. In plain words, Judas Iscariot had every possible opportunity that you could possibly have. He had it all. He had every bit of it. He was one of the 12 that knew him personally. Anytime Judas Iscariot wanted to go talk personally with the Lord Jesus, any questions he might have had, he could have. He could have. Christ made himself available. These are his 12, folks. But what did he do? He turned away from the truth. But do you know what he did after he denied the Lord Jesus? It's one of the most telling statements in the whole Bible. When he took that 30 pieces of silver back to these Jews who had paid him to deny their Lord, deny his Lord, he took that 30 pieces of silver back to them and he said, "I have betrayed the innocent blood." You know what he was doing? He was tracing the blood, Hebrews chapter number 11, all the way from Abel, who died at the hands of Cain, through the prophecy of Genesis 3:15, all the way down to himself. And he said, "There is a prophetic bloodline, and I have denied the innocent one that has never sinned, never done anything wrong." You know what he did? He went out and he hanged himself. Here's the point. If you deny the Lord Jesus Christ and turn from this light, you know what's left for you? Death. Death. That's the only place you can go. It's death. And let me tell you something about this. I've learned this from experience. There's a lot of people out there who never heard his name. They've never heard a message. They've never known anything about Christ. Nothing. But when you do hear it, when the glorious gospel is preached to you and you have something that's special from God and you turn away from it, would you listen to me if you don't hear anything else I say today? You will harden yourself as hard as steel by rejecting the light. You will be as Pharaoh whose heart was hardened. In other words, you have come to the highest spiritual point that a human being can come. You have looked into the face of God, you have heard the truth, and you have rejected it and said, "I'll have nothing to do with this." And folks, that can't lead to anything but damnation. I beg you, in the name of Jesus, you've heard the truth this morning. Come down here and accept him. Call upon his name. Call unto me, said, and I'll answer thee. Cry out to him, and you won't go to hell. Father, in thy name I pray. Use what I've said today in the name of Jesus. I've delivered my soul, Father. I've given them what you put in my heart. There are those in this house today that are right now headed for hell. And I don't want to see anybody go to hell. I don't want to see them go to hell. I don't want to see them. I don't even want to think about it. It's repulsive to the mind to think of a human being burning in hell. But Heavenly Father, that's what your word says. If I believe the Bible, I have to believe that. And I accept that. And there may be some in here today that this may be the last time they ever hear a gospel message. And oh God, don't let it be. Say no and walk away from you. Let them be saved. In the name of Jesus, I pray. For Jesus' sake.